Blog Talk Ready? Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to the Power of Enrichment broadcast with hosts Kiana Cox and Laura Clark. Tonight's episode is entitled Amazing Grace. We hope you enjoy the show. Now here is our featured broadcast.
Good evening, and welcome to the Power of Enrichment broadcast episode entitled Amazing Grace. I'm your co-host, Kiana Cox, speaker and enrichment coach.
And I'm your co-host, Laura Clark, founder and CEO of Chief Executive VA. So right before beginning our broadcast today, Kiana, we would like to share, what we like to do is share the vision of the broadcast in order to advise our listeners on what they can expect to receive, and then do a quick recap from our last broadcast, which was entitled Have Faith in What? The initial vision of the Power Enrichment broadcast is that it's a multifaceted platform used to share the wisdom of God, the true wisdom with all those seeking to live a more meaningful, fulfilling, and abundant life by being enlightened with truth and understanding. And we're doing all this via interactive electronic media, technology, and other related mediums of communication. So here, listeners can expect to receive from our broadcast an experience to be enriched and obtain added value to the many facets of our life, such as relationships, business, finances, health, purpose, spirituality, and much, much more. So from our last broadcast, Have Faith in What?, we took an in-depth look at defining faith. We understood that Scripture reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Hebrews 11:1, the New King James Version reading from. So faith, we saw, is being sure of those things that we hope for and that we're certain of those things that we do not see. And we began to break down its meaning by looking first at substance. Substance is what we can be perceived or contacted by your senses, your basic bodily senses. Your hear, your smell, your taste, those things. Faith, you can say, is tangible to what you're hoping for. This substance is the real physical matter of a thing that cannot be seen. Substance is to what is hoped for. Therefore, you have to have hope in order to obtain that substance. Hold on to it. Hope without faith has no real physical existence. Hope begins to act like a goal setter. Hope is not tangible. It does not have anything that our senses can perceive unless faith has been added to it. And we looked at that, and we said hope looks like when a person says one day, "I will not owe anyone money." That's a goal. When faith is added, faith makes that tangible. We also looked at assurance, assurance being the evidence of what faith is, the proof of the thing we're hoping for, and it validates the existence of something we've hoped for. Faith takes that place of a thing, and it makes it evident until the thing you're hoping for arrives in the physical realm, where you can see it, smell it, taste, and touch. We asked this question, and we set that question, and we answered it. Where does faith come from? And when we looked at it, faith comes from hearing the word of God, not heard or now I have faith. It's hearing and hearing and hearing in a continuous form. So the word of God is filled with faith, and it produces faith in the heart of a hearer. We also said, well, how does one acquire this assurance for what looks like impossible? We saw that that answer was trust. God states in his word that in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1, and out of absolutely nothing, since there's no scientific method to validate this as truth, one has to accept that word by faith. And we looked at that. So when there's no visible or natural signs of that thing that you're hoping for, showing how God has done or will do or will or can accomplish, this continual trust in God, trust in Jesus, this belief in his love and goodness for us, that's what we're having. Now faith is confident in what we're hoping for, and it's an assurance and evidence of what we do not see. And when we looked at that, we saw that faith in God's word is not a blind faith. It doesn't mean that you cannot see that. It comes through the learning to trust God. We saw that developing faith in our confession, development comes from hearing the word of God and confessing those promises for the thing you're hoping for. And so when we looked, we learned to also operate at our own level. We saw that, hey, there'll be some that will believe, oh, I'm going to believe God for millions of dollars for the ability to do grand things. And when they had not learned as yet to believe God for money to just pay their rent, we saw, you know what? Learn to operate at your own level. And as you grow in this, it's essential for your growth. And why? Because it helps to keep you from falling into many deceptions out there. You want to develop at your level. It's important to start where you are in believing. And lastly, we saw that basically we are saved through faith, which it's a gift from God. You have to accept the gift, and upon receiving it, you have the ability to take the delivery of every promise that is provided through the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the foundation of our faith. He is the author, the one who has originated, and the finisher, the one who performs the last step of completing our faith. This is the surety of what we hope for. And if we had to simplify faith, it would be that faith is relying upon Jesus to see every promise made to us here on earth and for eternity. So let's get into tonight's topic, Yana, and please share with us today's topic discussion, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, yes it is. So the dictionary defines grace as elegance or beauty of form, matter, motion, or action. Another definition says a manifestation of favor. I love favor because favor is not fair. Favor is something that you don't deserve, especially by a superior, is what this favor from the dictionary. It says manifestation of favor, especially by a superior. Grace is God's undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. Grace is a gift, which means you cannot deserve it, you cannot work for it, or you cannot earn grace. You can't. It's undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. So if you can earn it, can deserve it, it's not grace. We are saved by grace through faith. The word saved is your spirit is born again, recreated, a new life. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus as a Christian, having Jesus' spirit or the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You are qualified to receive every promise of the finished work of Jesus, and you are guaranteed to live an eternal life here on earth and after this life in heaven. Again, grace is that undeserved, that we are saved by grace, that undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor through faith, which, again, is that trust, reliance upon Jesus Christ for salvation. If by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace if you can work for it, according to Romans 11 and 6. Now, the majority of us, we can say that we've been taught that working hard is the cause of our success. Yes, we are to work, but we shouldn't be working hard, quote unquote, our emphasis on working hard. If we are working hard, then we are selling ourselves short and fighting a battle that we don't have to fight. How many people can attest that they dread getting up on Monday morning to go to work? Raise your hand. Say hello. We can't hear you on this end. Say hello. Or as soon as you arrive at work, you wish it was the end of the day so you can clock out and leave. If you said, yes, that's me, most likely you are working hard. Our occupation, business, our ministry should be one that we enjoy. Regardless of how many hours we put in a week, when we are doing something that we are passionate about, we are not keeping up with the time. We are not just collecting a paycheck to pay bills, but we are getting paid to do what we love. Many don't realize that just because you work hard does not mean that you're going to be successful at what you do. Think about it. There are some people working two or three jobs and are still being challenged financially and barely being able to make ends meet. You may know someone personally, or you may just be that person. I heard Steve Harvey say on Oprah's Life class, your talent is something you paid for, but your gift is what you were called for. We have all been given a grace or a gift as Christ apportioned, Ephesians 4 and 7. Another misconception that some people have is that if I work harder, I'll get that promotion, or I'll get to the top, or I'll be successful. So we put in extra hours, we kiss up to the boss, cross our T's and dot our I's. That's what we've been taught. And then a novice is hired for the position. Although you have a PhD and have been on the job for 5+ years, and I'm not advising anyone not to pursue higher education. Please be advised or obtain a degree. Some occupations do require you to do so, but don't allow the degree to define who you are or put limits on your life. Also, in today's society, a degree does not have the same value as it did years ago due to new industries being created and innovative technology. Not only do we try to work hard on our jobs, but we also try to work hard to get God to bless us or do something for us in our lives, do something good. We think that if we go to church every Sunday, pray for an hour, habitually confess all of our sins, fast for 40 days and 30 nights, pay our tithes and give offering, join a ministry at church, work hard to be good, or volunteer at a nonprofit organization, then God will be pleased with us and like magic, poof, give us whatever we want. Well, that's not how God works. For starters, God is not good to us because we are good. God is good to us because He is good. Yes, church attendance, prayer, fasting, giving of tithes and offerings and helping others, they are all good, but it will not make God do or not do something good for you. Notice that I didn't mention habitually confessing our sins are good because, as mentioned in a previous broadcast, Forgive or Forget, the listeners, you were advised that as a Christian, you are already forgiven of past, present, and future sins. And after all, there's no way that we can confess every sin, because there are some that we commit that we aren't even aware of. Additionally, the Bible says where sin increases, grace superabounds, Romans 5 and 20. So does that mean we are to sin on purpose because we know grace has already forgiven us? Absolutely not. On the contrary, we understand grace. We understand that grace helps us not to sin. We don't want to do the things that we used to do. Only those who don't understand the grace of God will abuse the design of grace. And we don't have to fight to try to do goody-goody things. Be perfect or holier than thou. Why? Because it is God working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness and reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Lord, is there anything that you would like to share or add on to that? Or I know we're getting ready to talk about share our grace experiences.
Absolutely.
Anything you want to add?
Well, only thing is that as you're including of all your definitions, I saw that grace includes definitions such as graciousness is where you mm-hmm. can find that grace in your life, thanksgiving, acceptable, benefit, favor, gift, mm-hmm. joy, liberality, pleasure, thankworthy, assistance from God. All grace meanings and definitions, the anointing, the manifested measure of Holy Spirit, results of Holy Spirit, work of God, thankful and thankfulness. And those are things that I saw coming out of definition of grace. And so at this time, when you said about our personal experience and application, there is a time I can recall where God's grace provided His assistance, grace, to a situation in my life, and believe me, there are many, but the first thing that popped in my mind was when I was about to give birth to my daughter. In the middle of the wee hours of the night, my husband and I We have no relatives living anywhere near us, and our son at that time was 5 years old. And we had no one to call on, really, to take care of him while we had to go off to the hospital. And it just so happened on that day, it was 3 a.m. in the morning. However, shortly previously before my date was coming to give birth, we had parents from our son's preschool approach us and told us if we needed them for any help during the close of my pregnancy that we could call on them. And we thought it was quite interesting that would occur because we didn't know these individuals and we had just really started to associate ourselves with the schools in the area. So I tell you, at this hour, 3 a.m., when my husband called them, the wife picked up the phone at that very hour as if she was waiting for us to call her. She told us to quickly come over, drop off our son, so that we could quickly continue on to the hospital because now I was in full labor. She and her husband also agreed to take care of our son for the next 3 days until we were settled to come home from the hospital. God's grace was not only assisting us to have someone available to take care of our son at this call of the day in 3 a.m. in the morning in this emergency, but this couple also lived on the way to the hospital, and that provided our emergency run a perfect pathway to be even easier. And his work for this couple who basically just stepped into our lives, my husband and I, for this moment in time to assist us in the matter of where are we going to put our son, we're in this emergency, it's 3 a.m. in the morning, they were there to assist us. And we saw that in our lives as truly amazing. It was amazing grace that was operating in our lives. And when we could not even think of how we would be able to figure out what to do, should our baby make a right now entrance, God already laid out his grace for us in that situation, assisting us, providing us the favor, the benefit. We saw the work of him, and it raised us to complete thankfulness in that hour. So when you think you have nowhere to turn or no one to assist, God's grace can and will, when you put your faith in his grace, provide and assist you out of what seems like nothing. And that was my personal experience and an application of amazing grace. And Kiana, I know you have one for us.
There are so many. I mean, I just see his amazing grace on a daily. And to say one is even more significant than the other, I mean, we can go for hours, we can go for days. Me getting into my grace experience. I mean, I've seen his grace in my finances. I've seen his grace in health. I've seen his grace in relationships, in business. And so I actually want to share more of him and specifically about Jesus and grace and understanding that his grace and his mercy, which grace, we understand that grace is undeserved, unmerited favor. There are people who say, okay, well, what's the difference between grace and mercy? I hear grace and I hear mercy. They're both undeserved. But mercy is we get the good of bad that we should have deserved because of the bad that we did. And grace is just undeserved favor. We didn't do good. We didn't do bad. We just received his grace. But there's an example of mercy. There was this one guy who, it was a mistake. Young guy, he was driving, and he was under the influence, and he got pulled over by a cop. So here it is. He's nervous, afraid, expecting the worst, because here it is. He's driving under the influence. So to speed it up, or make a long story short, this guy goes to church in front of the judge. They had the officer there. His lawyer was there. And he was already nervous, had spoke to his dad prior to, just knew that they were going to lock him up. But there was something going to happen because of the situation. And his dad just encouraged him about grace and mercy, the mercy of God, and expecting good regardless of the mistakes that we do. There's still grace. There's still mercy for those things that we do, even if it's intentional. And again, it's not to encourage people to sin or to do things. We understand that once we do have a revelation or understanding of His grace, of His mercy, and understand that He loves you, you won't want to take advantage of it. And again, it would empower us to not sin. We won't want to do it. The desire will just be completely gone. And so getting back to the story with this dad and the son, and so they got into the court. They were speaking to the officer, and what happened was the officer forgot to read the guy his rights. And so they threw the case out, and the judge told him, like, you should be so grateful right now, because typically a person would be getting locked up after this. And so even though he was driving under the influence, and it was a mistake, whatever the situation, because there's a root cause behind why people do certain things, alcohol, drugs, even getting to the adult industry. There are reasons behind, and God knows that. He knows the heart. He knows the motives. He knows the things that we go through, and He understands that. Now, man may see and judge on the outer appearance, even prejudge people who they are not even aware of, are familiar with, or not even know personally. However, God knows the heart, and it's His grace, it's His mercy, it's His goodness that leads a man to repentance. So now moving to some practical applications, how can we apply grace to our everyday lives? A particular situation that we may be challenged or a habit can't break. What can we do in those situations? This is a very sensitive topic, and some Christians and various religious organizations have either shied away from it or damned people to hell for this practice. A couple of weeks ago, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage. Most of the country was in an uproar while others celebrated. Do I condone same-sex marriage? No. However, I do understand that homosexuality is no different from any other challenge that a person may experience in their lifetime. And just as Jesus loves the one who murders, lies, drinks, steals, gossips, steals drugs, cheats, prostitutes, and the list goes on, He still loves the person who desires being with the same sex. Again, if He doesn't love one, He doesn't love any, but He loves all. In addition, contrary to popular belief, if the person practicing homosexuality is a Christian, that person will go to heaven and spend their days in eternity with Jesus. As Jesus' grace is sufficient to assist us in overcoming any other challenge in our life, His grace is sufficient in this area as well. So how can grace help us to overcome adverse situations or in areas, no matter how hard we attempt to stop or use willpower, we just don't get the results we expect? Simply, yet seems too good to be true, but it is true. We just have to trust, to believe on Him to help us to overcome that test, that trial, or that tribulation by first acknowledging that you need and want His help regarding the matter. That's first base. Surrendering and saying, Jesus, I need you. Help me, whatever the situation is. Finances, relationships, marriage, business, homosexuality, forgiveness, bitterness, anything, surrender and ask for His help. This is the key to breaking out of the situation that you no longer want to be enslaved to, but don't know how you can or will make it out. And you talk to Him, share the specific details. He is closer than a brother. He is your best friend. Allow Him to be that friend, that best friend who you talk to on a daily basis, and to allow to Him to help to lead and to direct and guide you. He already knows your life. It's already predestined, and He is the manufacturer. He created it. All things were created with and for Him, and so He knows it. It's just like a manufacturer. When your car breaks down or an appliance, what do? You call the manufacturer, the one who made the product, to see, because they know the specific details. And just as he created us, he knows every single detail, and he has the answer. He is the solution. And the more time with him in prayer, which is simply communing with him, are reading, meditating on the scripture pertaining to the specific situation, because there is a scripture for everything that we go through in life. It's nothing new. I know you've heard that. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new to him. All things he knows, and he has the answer. Are just talking to him like you do a friend. The more you'll learn to trust him and experience his amazing grace and his amazing love for you. Admit to him that the only way you can overcome this situation is with his assistance. You can't do it alone. You can't. No self-help. You cannot do it alone. You have to do it with him. And similar to a seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it, the seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without his help. First a green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps. It's harvest time. That's Mark 4, 26 and 29. So take advantage of this free gift of grace with a face, and his name is Jesus, and experience wholeness in your relationships, health, in your mind, your soul, finances, career, business, and yes, even in your sexuality, and much, much more. So, Laura, what is our challenge of the day?
Yes, and before I present our challenge, study for yourself this word of grace and how it empowers you, and this faith in God's grace makes receiving from God much easier. So, for our challenge of the day, if you could take a moment and search the depths of your heart and fill in the blank of this statement, I would like to see grace show up in my finances, grace show up in my job. You fill in that statement. I would like to see grace show up in my blank. Take the challenge and declare this statement in your life.
So, again, thank you all tuning in to the Power of Enrichment broadcast. Mark your calendars for the next episode entitled As You Think, So Are You, which will be held Thursday, August 6, 2015, the same time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, in the same place right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to the broadcast by dialing in 657-383-1389 or log on to blogtalkradio.com/Power of Enrichment Broadcast. Please share the broadcast information with your friends and family. Remember to log on to our website, follow us on Blog Talk Radio and Twitter, like us on Facebook, connect with us on LinkedIn, and be a part of our circle on Google+ to stay abreast of all things pertaining to Power of Enrichment. In addition, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. Email us suggested broadcast topics or any inquiries, comments, and prayer requests at powerofenrichment@gmail.com. Until the next time, be enriched.
Be rich.